Blog Talk Radio.
Must be saved in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. On this morning,
we will be dealing with the word of his power. And when I was reading this verse, doing some research, just going through the scriptures and the way this is written, you would think that they would say by the power of his word. And you say, wow, did they misprint that? Or, but then when you actually dig into it and, I had to meditate on it and read and the word of his power. And simply put, if you are thinking about what this means, who is your power? The same power by which Messiah is talking about, by the word of his power. And so we're going to look into that this morning. I have sent out, for those of you who are going to do the newcomers class, I have sent out an email that has the first lesson in it, with the lines and everything. I've taken out the answers and put the lines in it where you can write in your own answers to the questions, because the study should be really what you're getting out of the Word of the Most High. Now, what you're getting out of it may be a little bit different than the way I teach it, but we want to make sure that, what you're understanding and what you're reading, and then compare. And you want to compare it to what other people, what does this verse say to you? It's all about discussion of the scriptures. So it's question and answer format, gives you a subject area, gives you a little bit of an overview, and then questions and answers. This question and sends you to the scriptures to find the answer. So we want to, for all of you who will be attending, you want to download that. If you have the capabilities, you may want to print it off and write, create your own little booklet. Or you can, if you can't print it off, get a little notebook, lesson one, question one, what the question is and, what the reference scriptures are, and then just write your answers that way. So we pray that, everyone attends. This is required for Yah Global Kingdom Ministry members. It's required by our bylaw. And so it is structured, and we will proceed in that order. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. And let me get my glasses. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you and we lift you up. We magnify your name, Father. And we thank you for being here. Thank you. Hallelujah. 10,000 praises to our Most High Elohim, for he is truly worthy of our praise and our worship. All right. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let's turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedness, and that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent of our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, and you would hear our supplications and our prayers. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray that you would turn your eyes and your ears again toward your people Israel and deliver us from this captivity wherever we're at in the world. And we'll be so thankful to hear from you, Father. We'll be so thankful that you have and will deliver us. And we will give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do, and that you would hear our supplications and prayer and deliver us from this captivity. Father, help to heal us. We are your people. We need your help. And Father, we petition you for it. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, our reading for, at least for this time of this year. Let all Israel understand. This is what the Most High requires of us. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their hearts and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto them toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim, The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. I want to tell you from personal testimony, it takes a lot of wind to do that. You know, I admire the brothers that can blow that shofar like that and make those different sounds for the simple reason you don't have any buttons to push. You got to change the texture of your lips to make those different sounds. So, you know, that takes a lot of practice. And to hold those notes, or to fluctuate in those notes, trust me, I'd be winded trying to do some things, and I'm just learning, but you got to have some lungs on you to do this. So we thank the Most High for those brothers that he have gifted to be able to blow his shofar and to summon his presence. And we summon you even now, Most High. Be amongst us. Be with us this morning. Let it be your words that are heard. Let Brother Miles decrease and let you increase. But we need to hear from you, Father. All right. We are talking about the word of his power. And I'm not even really sure at this moment that I can do this justice the way he put it in my heart. Because as I said last night, I didn't know what I was going to teach. And so sort of just start going through scripture. And this is what hit me, and as I was, you know, doing the background research on this and reading the scriptures, and I understood what he was saying to me, but finding the verses that go with it, some of them came automatically and real fast. Then the Most High started taking me all over the place, and I'm like, goodness. So hopefully we're not disjointed. And I pray that we receive out of this what the Most High wants us to receive out of this. The word of his power. As I said, when I first read it, I'm like, wow, why didn't they say the power of his word? Because the Most High creates and does everything by his word. But then when I had to reread the scripture again, it's talking about Messiah and his servant. So let us go to Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to get verse 3. This is our reference verse here for this precept. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now, when I first read this, I was like, what did he just say by upholding all things by the power of his word? But that means something completely different than by the word of his power. And if you don't separate it, if you don't ask, if you don't look, he's really saying he upheld all things or is upholding all things by the word of his power. Who is his power? Is it his, we know, and this is kind of a jacked up question. Maybe I won't even ask it. But we know who Messiah is. And when he came in the flesh, he came with a mission, and it was more than just with one mission. Okay? He came to redeem us, but he also came to do some other things. And we want to look at one of those other things that he came to do. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. The book of Matthew, chapter 10. And we're going to get verse 20. The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 20. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which is in you. Now, we have all other kind of reference verses to wit. Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Messiah came to reveal the Father to us as he wants us to relate to him. And he wants us to relate to, the Father wants us to relate to him as his children, but also as our power. Messiah says over and over and over again, I can do nothing in and of myself, but it is the Father which is in me. That is my power. That's the words that I speak. The words that I speak, they are not my own, but they are the words of the Father. And so we have to understand that although everything has been given into the hands of Messiah, and we're to pray to Messiah, we're to ask for everything in his name, everything that he did was to reveal the Father to us so that we would know how to approach the Father, that we would live off the words of the Father, that we would get our strength and our power through the Father. And so this is one of the main missions for which Messiah came into the world. Let's go to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 8. We're going to read through 11. John chapter 14, starting in verse 8 through 11. Philip said unto him, Master, show us the Father, and it suffice us. Yeshua said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, we know, Messiah says, the Father is in him. The Spirit of the Father. The Father is a spirit. It says, and the Father is within me. And when you are talking to me, when you are dealing with me, you're dealing with the Father. The scripture says that he is the express image of the invisible. He's teaching us by the word of his power. He says, I want you to understand, and I want it, if you're going to be a child of the Most High, I want you to understand also that your power comes from the Father. And it is the Father that was in Messiah that must be in us. And by his word, and by his power. So by the word of his, the Most High's power. The Most High is your higher power. He is my higher power. He was Messiah's higher power. He's a power within us that's doing the work. And that's why you and I must understand fully and completely who it is that's dwelling in us. It is important. It is the Father. And by his Spirit. So Messiah says, everything that I do, I'm doing it by the power of the Most High, the Father himself. The words I speak to you are by the one that gives me power. The things that I do are by the one that gives me power, that are my power. In and of myself, in this flesh, I am nothing. But by the word of his power, the Most High Elohim. Let us go to, just drop down to verse 16. Same chapter, John chapter 14 and verse 16. We have verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, or to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. So the world itself cannot know the Father. And most people tell the truth. To tell you the truth, most people cannot know the Father. If we are carnal-minded, we cannot know the Father. We can't even hear what he said. The scripture says, the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of Elohim, and neither indeed can be. You can't be subject to something that you can't see, you can't hear, you can't comprehend. How can you be in subjugation to it? You can't. Can't see him. He doesn't exist to the carnal mind. So you can't be in subjection to his statutes, his laws, and his commandments if we are carnal. He says, I will send you another comforter. Verse 17. Again, even the Spirit of truth. We want truth. We must worship Elohim in spirit and in truth. The truth of the matter is, the bottom line, we have to operate by the word of his power. If we are counting on self, then we are going to fail all the time. We are not going to bear any fruit because we're trying to do it ourselves. This is all about the Father and his working within us. And this is what Messiah, one of the main things that Messiah came to tell us. Look at me. I'm telling you, I do nothing of myself. What you see is flesh before you. What I see before me is flesh. You don't see the spirit within me. So you're dealing with the spirit of the Father, which is in me. And the way that I talk to you, Philip, can you not understand that you've been dealing with the Father all this time? I mean, he's getting, you know, he asked a question, and Messiah gave him a straight-up answer. And we got to understand that if we are the children of the Most High, also, everything that we do has to be by the word of his power, the Most High. He has to be our power. In this case, it's talking about the power of Messiah. But the power of Messiah, he's saying, hey, that is my Father. We know who that is. When we are filled with the Ruah, then everything that we do is by the word of his power. And we have that is fundamental to everything that we do. And we're asking in Messiah's name. We're doing it all in the name of Messiah because that's what the Most High wants. But he wants us to understand, and Messiah said, and we'll read this in a few, I want you to understand that everything that you do, this is all about the Father. You're going to ask in my name because I am the Son of Redemption. And through this name, you have access. Through this work that I'm doing, you have access to the Father. But understand, that is the basis and the premise for everything. So this was his main, you know, besides going to the cross, you know, the healing, the miracles, that was so that people might believe that he was who he said that he was. But though they were not the message, they were to get people's attention. The one that is promised to come into the world has come into the world. Now, I read something here this morning that we'll get to it here in a second, but I don't recall, I didn't remember reading this scripture the way that I read it this morning. I don't recall actually really even seeing it. It did not come into my mind that I had ever read this particular verse. But we're going to read it this morning because it's something that is a testimony to what our forefathers actually really knew. Okay? What they knew and what they could receive or couldn't receive. Okay? So, verse 17 again. John chapter 14, verse 17 again. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. How do they know him? How do they know the spirit of truth? For he dwelleth with you. Who's dwelling with them at that time? It is Messiah himself. And shall be in you. Now, you know, for me, if they were had really been listening, if they understood, and I know a lot of times the disciples didn't understand. We have the, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight. But one of the things that I highlighted in this verse is, and shall be in you. If you know the spirit of truth and he's with you, he's dwelling with you. He's living with you. And shall be in you. Then we today, you know, maybe they couldn't see it, but we today have to ask, all right, first of all, how is the spirit of truth dwelling with them? And if that is Messiah, because he's the one dwelling with them, how is he going to be in them? That might justify and say, oh, his thoughts. His word, his teaching, and that would be partially true. That would be partially true, but it's not the complete truth. It's not the most perfect truth. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's already there. So who is he also telling them that he is? I am that spirit of truth. I am that comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will be in you. Now, this speaks of when it says, I will come at that time, that's a future event. He is there with them already. So he said, I'm going to come to you, and I will be with you. I'm going to be in you. This is speaking spiritually because of who he is. Let's drop down to verse 23. Same chapter, verse 23. Yeshua answered them and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. We talked about this last night, the promises of the Most High and who they belong to. The ones that the Most High loves. Messiah said, if you love me, you will keep my words. You will keep my commandments. You will understand that I'm teaching you of the Father. And you will make the Father first in your life, even though you're asking through me. You will understand that everything that you do is to the glory of the Father, even though you must ask for it in my name. You must come through me in this position, but what I'm telling you is by the word of his power that you will be loved. I'm going to make you equal to me. Me, Messiah, in this flesh. I'm going to call you brother or sister. Brothers and sisters are equals. So I'm going to make you my equal, and I'm going to even share my throne with you from this position. But everything, my power, your power, comes through the Father, his word. Everything that he said, whatever seems good to him, I'm only going to tell you what seems good to him. Because it's the self-same spirit that is within me, the spirit of the Father. Or in another word, I am the Father in flesh. But I want you to do and look at me as the Son of Man. Now, we're going to read something concerning it that I said that I saw, and I was like, good grief. But this is important, and it's important that we understand. So, Yeshua answered, verse 23 again. Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. In another place, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. And he will come unto him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. Hear what Messiah is saying. The word which you hear, he that loveth me, he that keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So if you don't love Messiah, he that loveth not, keepeth not my saying. He says, but this is not my word either. This is not coming from me, the Son of Man, in from this position. This word that I'm saying to you, that if you don't love me and keep not my sayings, the word that I'm speaking to you is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Father's talking. You don't love the Son and don't keep his sayings, then you don't love me and I won't love you. So we can't, you know, like discard Messiah. We can't just set him to the side, or the position that Messiah has and the work that he's doing. As the Father in flesh, he's saying, hey, I want you to give this the utmost respect. But the purpose that he is here is to teach you about me from the aspect of Father. Because how else, you know, one of the things that, and this just came to me, one of the things that I have seen in children learn best from other children. So if I want you to learn about me, I need to come as one of my own children. Because you will learn better that way. If I talk to you strictly from the position of Father, as your forefathers have shown you, some things they hear and some things, a lot they don't. They didn't hear any of the prophets. They didn't believe any of the reports. When I spoke to them through the prophet from the position of Father, from the position of the Most High Elohim, and some of them I caused not to hear because they were just reprobate. They were carnal. I didn't want them to hear. And even when Messiah came, it was no different. The Father's like, you know what? Y'all still stiff-necked, hard-hearted. And some of y'all, I don't want to hear the truth. But we're going to read that as well. Let's continue. So Messiah is telling them, the things that I'm telling you, they are coming from me straight from the Father. And I want you to hear it as though from the Father. You're looking at the Father in me. The Spirit that is within me is the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm coming, I'm telling you these things. And he repeats this a lot of times. I've told you these things while I'm with you because I want you to understand that I'm your example. I want you to understand that I'm your example, but I'm here to reveal something to you. I'm here to reveal someone to you. And who he was there to reveal was the Father himself. This is the relationship that I want. This is how I want it to be. This is how I want my children to act. This is, I want them to understand that as my children and with me in them, my words are what motivate them. My words are what give them power. Go to the book of John, chapter 12. The book of John, chapter 12. And need to understand that, again, the reason for this precept is that we understand that the Most High, by his word, the word of his power, we have to understand that the Most High is our power. And this is the lesson that Messiah, the main lesson that he was trying to teach us as children of the Most High. John chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Then Yeshua, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, so we're coming up on a period where Lazarus has died. Messiah has resurrected him. There were people that were there that witnessed this resurrection. And so we're going to be dealing with some of them. We're going to also be dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the power brokers. Because, you know, they didn't want Lazarus to even be alive. But Lazarus was supposed to be a sign to them, just like just like the lepers that were cured were supposed to be assigned to them. But they knew more than what they led on to. So we're going to read that. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So, you know, this thing, Lazarus coming back from the dead, and you got to understand that when we came out of Egypt, we also brought some of the Egyptian burial practices with us. And so they would have removed the brains. They would have removed his internal organs. So the you know, Messiah, when we read about Messiah, they didn't do that to Messiah. Why? Because it was right before a feast day. Okay? So they had to bury him, and they couldn't come back to perform this. What they were coming back to do was to actually prepare his burial, prepare his body. You know, stick the hook up his nose and pull his brains out. Cut him down the middle and pull out his inside. Anoint his body with, you know, with that ointment. That's why it said Martha anointed his body in preparation for his burial. But they couldn't do the complete burial because the sun was about to go down and it was going to be the start, in that case, of the Feast of Unleavened. The start of Feast, well, Passover, that's the first day. The second day of Feast of Unleavened, but it was also another Sabbath. And so they couldn't do anything with his body. They couldn't go through that process. That's why I say, so when you understand, if you know about the burial procedures of our people, then you understand that miracle of Lazarus. He reconstituted his brain. He reconstituted his inside. He had already started thinking. I mean, when you read the story, his body had seen corruption. Now he's sitting at the table, getting ready to eat with Messiah. So this truly was, it was more than just waking him up. Like he woke the little girl up. He woke this woman up. Lazarus had been dead. And he'd already been prepared, and his body was starting to stink. Different type of miracle altogether. So he reconstitutes, and Lazarus comes out. Reconstitutes his brain, his organs, his memory, puts his spirit back in the body. It's a completely different miracle than just waking somebody up who had just died. But understand that Messiah didn't go through this process either because they didn't have time to prepare him. The women were coming back to prepare his body, Martha and Mary. They weren't just coming back to the tomb to roll back the stone to see if he was there. They were coming back to finish the burial, that process. Okay, let's continue. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Yeshua and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And given to the poor. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor. He's not saying it's because he cares about the poor. He says it's because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put in therein. So we could have sold this and I would have had the money. I'm holding the bag anyway, but I could have taken some for myself. Then said Yeshua, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept it. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. And as I said earlier, he's anointing his body with this ointment, this spikenard, in preparation for his burial. And when they are coming back after 3 days, it is to finish the burial to finish preparing his body. They don't get to do that because he's what? He has risen. So not so for Lazarus. They prepared, Lazarus died, and they wrapped him. They pulled his insides out. They wrapped him, stuck him in that tomb. Verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Yeshua's sake only. They're not just coming to see Messiah. Lazarus is also there, whom got resurrected. But they that might see Lazarus also, whom he had been raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now here is a bona fide miracle. And they want to kill it so that they don't lose power. They want to kill him so the people aren't attracted to Messiah because of Lazarus. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away. They went away from the Pharisees. Not away from Messiah, but they went away from the Pharisees and believed on Yeshua. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of Yah. So now, this is important. Why? Because Messiah is coming to reveal to them, his mission is to reveal to them the Father. He keeps telling them, I do nothing of myself. So when they call him the King, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of Yah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to get verse 15. Isaiah 43 and 15. I am Yah, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So when they're calling Messiah, blessed is the King of Israel, Israel always knew that the Most High was their King. And if they were listening to Messiah, for him to come and to sit on that donkey and ride into Jerusalem, and for them to call out to them, for them to call out to him, blessed is the King of Israel, and they got a sitting King, Agrippa, then they were supposed to know who they were welcoming in, but they didn't know. But it was so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But his disciples, they're going to remember this after he leaves. After he's gone away, then they remember, oh, snap, we did this. He came riding into Jerusalem, and we threw these palm leaves down and set him on this colt, and he rode in this way. But at the time that it was happening, they didn't catch it. And so he's showing them again, how sayest thou show me the Father? The Father is here. The Father's going to ride into Jerusalem in the flesh of a man as your King. Now, I'm going to be your King in the future as well. But this is what Messiah and his works were to reveal to them. The one that your forefathers said is the only God of the universe. He alone is God. He don't know any other God. He is the one that is here. Go to Isaiah 53. And actually, I don't want to go to Isaiah 53. I don't want to come back to that. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 14. We'll come back to Isaiah 53. The book of John, chapter 14, and we're in verse 14. I'm sorry, my bad. The book of John, chapter 12, is where we're at. John, chapter 12, verse 14. The book of John, chapter 12, starting in verse 14. And Yeshua, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Israel, hear, O Israel, the Shema, Yah our Elohim is one. Yah is one. That was a basic understanding of Israel. Another basic understanding of Israel is that Yah Elohim was their king. So when Messiah comes, fear not, daughter of Zion, thy king cometh. Who's coming? It is the Father. They only know him by the Father. So we're going to find this out. Sitting on an ass's colt. Verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at first. But when Yeshua had was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. At the time that it was happening, they didn't have a clue. And they're doing things because this is what the position that they wanted him to take, but they didn't understand the significance of it. And it also opened their understanding as to who he is, because Israel is only supposed to have one king. Now, they had many kings, but their true king and the throne that all their kings sit on is the throne of the Most High. That's why the promise is that there will come a time when the scepter shall not depart. And the one that's reigning on the throne out of the house of Judah by the flesh will be an eternal king. It's the Most High. The Most High always intended to have a throne on this earth in Israel. And because the people couldn't wait, they couldn't wait. They wouldn't wait. We want a king like the other nations have. We want a king we can see, even though he's ruling them through the prophet. But it's through someone. He says, well, there's going to come a time where I'm not going to go through someone. I'm not going to rule you through the prophet. I'm going to come myself and be in the flesh. And when everything is all said and done, I'm going to sit on the throne in Israel forever. And from the scriptures, they would have only known this as the Father. You could not tell anyone in Israel, any of our forefathers, that the Most High had a son, a literal son. We're the sons of the Most High. We're the firstborn, Israel. That's their understanding. And there's only one Elohim. This would have been their understanding. So we got to go back and get their understanding of what they should have understood. They didn't see everything, but this is what their basic understanding would be. Let's continue. So his disciples, at the time that this is happening, they ain't got a clue. They remember later. Like, you know, like you're sitting down and you're having a discussion and Messiah has taught you, and then you remember, oh, wow, we're reading Isaiah and he was supposed to come in on a donkey, and Messiah did that. Yeshua did that. And the one that's coming in on a donkey, he is the Messiah, but the Messiah is the Most High. They would have known that. Verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record that he had done it. For this cause, the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. So people are coming for him. People are coming to see Lazarus. People are bearing record that some people are bearing record. Yeah, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And people are, you know, this is like, I hate to say it, but like a spectacle. It's like, you know, a crowd gathering. Lazarus, the one that came from the dead, that Messiah raised from the dead, or Yeshua raised from the dead, is here. Yeshua is here also. So they're attracting a crowd, and the Pharisees don't like it. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive you how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." See how we after him, when we've been trying to kill him, and we don't prevail. You know, everything we do is fail. We don't prevail at all. The world is gone after him. So they wanted to kill Lazarus so that the people wouldn't be attracted to Messiah, so they could kill this story and his attraction. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Certain Greeks. These Greeks are either proselytes or they are Hebrews that were born in Greece. The same came, therefore, to Philip. These certain Greeks came to Philip, which was at Bethesda of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Yeshua." Philip cometh and tells Andrew, "Hey, there's some Greeks that want to see the Master." And Andrew and Philip tell Yeshua. And Yeshua answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, underline or highlight Son of Man. "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat," and this is another precept of the Most High. I'm going to have to do a precept on this because this is deep. This has to do with our walk. If we understand what he's about to say, then each and every one of us is going to have to understand that we got to die to self. If you want to bear fruit, you can't be involved in it. So let's listen to this. This is a whole other precept within itself. "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone." It's not going to produce. If it don't die, if that corn, that kernel of wheat does, or corn doesn't die, if it don't dry up, it's truly dead. With the corn that you see on the stalk, with the corn that you boil, make corn on the cob, it's still alive. It's not dead. The corn that when they get it and they put it in the can, it's not dead. When it's dead is when it's dried up. And so we got to understand that unless we die, if we go onto the ground, if you put a live kernel of corn on the ground, it will not bear fruit. It will not root. It will not grow into a plant. It will just shrink up and rot out. But it won't bring up a plant. So it has to first die. And that means that it's going to transform in death. And all the instructions that are in it to become a stalk of corn don't happen until it dies. They're there, but they're not active. And so, again, let me stop on this, but we got to have to understand that we have to be like this kernel of corn as well. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Another precept, as I said. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So you can't be afraid to die to yourself. If you are trying to do this thing of yourself and you have not died to self, if you have not put the Most High first, if he is not the word and the power that's in you, you will bear no fruit whatsoever. So let's continue. If any man serve me, let him follow me and where I am. So this is his answer to the Greeks that want to see him. You want to serve me, then follow me. Where I am, there should also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So we got to go through Messiah. But Messiah's purpose, one of his main purposes, is come to reveal the Father to us and the relationship that we should have with the Father, and to understand that everything that we do is by the word of his power. The Father is my sole trouble. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now the reason, now there's another reason here. Now it's time for me to die. And I got to be like that kernel of corn. If I stay in this natural form, and if I stay in my present condition, if I don't die, I will not bring forth fruit. And it's for this cause that I came into the world. So he's saying, I'm troubled. And we know that, you know, he knew what he was about to go through, and it troubled him. You know, Father, take this cup from me. If it be possible, take this cup from me. But not my will. Because now this flesh has gotten in the way. You know what I'm saying? That has to tell you how powerful this flesh is. That's why you got to die to it. But let me get stopped because I'm getting off a precept. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. He came to reveal the Father to us. He also came to reveal his name to us. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So I'm going to get me some glory now, and I'm going to get some glory later out of what you're doing. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said that it was thunder. Now, they heard this voice, and to some of them it sounded like thunder. Others said an angel spake to him, but they knew it was speech. Messiah said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, so that you would believe that I am who I say that I am. And if you go back into the scriptures, then you will know who I am. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, he's telling them, hey, telling them or signifying what death he should die. Now, I want you to hear what the people say at this point. Because remember, these are people where they're at, right before the Passover. They have come there at Lazarus' house. They're coming to see Lazarus, coming to see Messiah. Got some Greeks there that are asking, hey, can we see Messiah? He's giving them parables. And he's saying, if I be lifted up. Let me go back up and find a verse because we need to reference this verse. I don't think I did it. Give me a hot second. Verse 23. I think I did tell you. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Remember, he's saying this to the people. You want to underline this. Now, in verse 32, he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So he doesn't speak in a third person. He speaks directly and tells them, if I be lifted up. Now, he calls himself the Son of Man, and they may not know him as that. Well, watch this. Verse 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. Not that they haven't heard about Christ, so they wouldn't say Christ. They would say Messiah, Mashiach. In the Greek, Christ. They would have said, the Mashiach abided forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now watch how Messiah reacts. Okay, because he's been with them. He's been showing them signs. They should know who this is. Verse 35. Then Yeshua said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not whither he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Yeshua and departed, and hid himself from them. The light hid itself from them. I am the light of the world. I'm hiding from you because you want to be in darkness. You don't want to know the truth. You can't hear it. You don't want to hear it. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed him not. They believed not on him. That was the saying of Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. Yah, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Yah been revealed? Now, when I first read this, maybe 6 or 7 years, not when I first read it, but Most High showed me something concerning this verse 6 or 7 years ago. Who has believed our report? When you read it from the prophets, you might be believing or thinking that he's talking about the prophet. Who has believed their report? But then you got to understand that what the prophet's job is. The prophet's job is to speak on behalf of who? The Most High Elohim. The Most High talk through the prophet. So when you are talking, listening to the prophet, the words that the prophets are saying are the words of the Most High. So the Most High is saying, who has believed our report? What report? The report of Father and Son. The report of what he's going to do. Now, when we say our, we think about a plurality. But on the Most High, this is really a singularity. And he uses these words to confuse those that are carnal, those that the Spirit is not revealing to them who he is. So they will read the word and think two or three people, two or three entities. But the Most High has shown us that I am a spirit, and the spirit that's in Messiah is me, the Father. And through the mouth of Messiah, he keeps telling us over and over and over again, I do all things by the word of his power. He's talking in a third person. He's really talking about himself. But this is the relationship that he wants us to know. So from the position of a son, a child of mine, I want you to know me this way. And I want you to deal with me from this standpoint. And I want you to understand that everything that you do is by the word of my power. I'm your power. This is the underlying theme. This is what Messiah, one of his main missions was to get us to understand. You are to become a child of the Most High by his spirit, and by the word of his power, you're going to do all these things. I can do nothing of myself. You should be repeating what Messiah says. So I can do nothing of myself. Everything that I say, that's why I said we have to be asking the Most High. Every word that comes out of my mouth, I should be asking the Most High. The things that I do, I should be asking the Most High, should I do this? He's our example. This is what he came to show us. Listen to me. So let's go back to verse 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou? The Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? The people are asking this. Then Yeshua said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. While he hath the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. We want to be the children of the light. The Most High is that light, that unapproachable light. These things spake Yeshua and departed and hid himself from them. The light hid himself. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Thus the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Yah, who has believed our report, the report of Father and Son, and to whom has the arm of Yah been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah saith again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So he caused them to be blind because they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe the signs. They wouldn't believe the report. They wouldn't believe what the prophets had been saying. They wouldn't believe what the Most High had said through the prophets. And it was written in such a way that the Most High didn't reveal to them that it was him that was coming. He always referred to himself as a third person. He wrote about the Messiah as a third person. But then he revealed to his prophets and to his saints just who he is, so you understand who he is. They couldn't see it. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. So they're asking, I just told you I'm the Son of Man. I just told you I had to be lifted up. And then you're going to ask me who is the Son of Man? You see the miracles. You know that the Messiah is supposed to come working miracles. You know that the Messiah is supposed to come baptizing. You know that the Messiah is supposed to come and die for your sins. But you don't want to believe the report. Verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. The Most High revealed to Isaiah, but I want you to write it this way. You're going to write exactly what I speak to you, because this is how I want them to know and to believe. And if they don't seek me out, they will not know who I am. They will not see me when I come to visit. They won't believe the report. Let's continue. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Now, chief rulers are the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the elders. Many of them believed on Messiah. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Why? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of Elohim. We definitely don't want to following some men who are trying to keep power to themselves, who are trying to have control over people, who are trying to receive praise from men. They want men to actually worship them and not the Most High. They, you know, don't be ashamed, because a lot of people get ashamed when it comes, you know, even I've seen a lot of saints leave, even just behind the speaking in tongues. And because where they go to, they don't do it, then they will follow the crowd because they haven't done it. And they will band together and will praise one another rather than believe the word of the Most High, rather than believing what is written in the word. So the same way here. People want to receive praises of other people rather than receive praise of the Most High. Messiah, everything he went through, we can see it in our own lives. But he's dealing with these people because, you know what? They don't like light. They like darkness. And just like them, if we find ourselves in this position, the light will hide from us. Because we don't want to die for self. We don't want to die and let this word just take over. We want to have some level of control. And we don't want to give total control to who's supposed to be our power. The word of our power, the word of his power. Messiah said, I go by the word of my power. My power is the Father. Who's your power? And whose word are you going by? Let's continue. Verse 44. Yeshua cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me. Yeshua cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. That's who you are supposed to be believing on. The one who sent him. He wants us to understand, all power is given unto me. And really who I am in the flesh, you know who I am. The power, the true source of the power, the true source of the light is the Most High in spirit. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Again, how sayest thou, show me the Father? If you see me, you see in the Father. It is the Father that is within me that does the work. It's the Father that is within me who's speaking. It's the Father that is within me that's performing the work. It's the Father that is within me that's providing the instruction. Everything that I do, I'm showing you the Father. It is the Father in me doing it. I do nothing in and of myself from this flesh. I can't show you this from the spirit world, so I came in flesh to show you. This is the relationship that I want with you, and I want you to understand. Without the Father, you can do nothing in and of yourself. But continue. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You should understand this. We should all be able to see this because we can see the light. The light illuminates and it gives us knowledge. Messiah is telling us everything that you do, your source of power, the words that you speak is the word of your power. If you're not speaking the words of your power, Then you speak in your own words. You doing your own thing. If you have not allowed the Father to come and dwell in you, you are doing your own thing. So it's by the word of his power. You should be proclaiming the power of the Most High. Everybody should know of you as a child of the Most High because you're going to be proclaiming his power. Let's continue. Verse 47. And if any man hear my word and believe not, if you hear Messiah's words that the Father was in him, it is the Father that dwelleth in you, that's supposed to dwell in you, that he's going to be the one that testifies, he's going to be the one that does the work. If you don't believe that, he says, I judge you not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. This is what I'm doing at this point. I'm not coming to judge. I'm coming to save. So if you don't believe me, I'm not going to judge you. He that rejecteth me and receives not my word, hath one that judged him. There's somebody that's going to judge you, but it's not me. Not from this position. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Who's going to judge you? The word of the Most High. Where'd that word come from? The Most High himself. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a command. What I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The words that I speak are not my own. The words that you speak should not be your own. It should be the words of the Father that dwelleth in you. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Because Messiah said, it was said of them that they didn't believe the report. Who has believed our report? Go look and see what that report is. He gives a summation of it in Isaiah 53. I'm going to start in verse 1. Who has believed our report? The hour in this is not the prophet themselves. This is speaking of the Most High, the Father, and the Son. That's the hour. And they are one, but he's writing it so that you understand from it's from these two positions. Who has believed our report? Messiah said they would believe. And when you go all the way through the New Testament, you'll find that the people didn't believe the report. So when we go back to the prophets, we read who has believed our report. This is the report of the Most High and the Messiah. Happens to be the same individual, but he's writing it in such a way that if he don't show it to you, if you don't speak him out, you're not going to know who he's talking about. And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he, now we go back to a singular verb, a singular pronoun, not verb. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comely. He's not beautiful. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that he should desire him, that we should desire him. Messiah was, the Most High didn't want, those women that were around Messiah, If they were attracted to him, it wasn't going to be because he was handsome. It was going to be because of the words that he spoke, the message that he was bringing. But intentionally, the Most High made him not beautiful. Because, you know, our nature, we see a handsome man or a handsome woman is not, you know, the first thing we see, the first thing coming to our mind is lust. Oh, he sure is handsome. I wonder if he's married. So forth and so on. So the Most I made sure that that didn't happen. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Most High is right. The Most High speaks first to say this. Understand how the Most High speaks a lot of times. And the scripture says this. And when you can pick this up, then you can understand that a lot of the prophecy that you read, some things you can't recognize as prophecy because of the way it is written and the way that the Most High speaks to us. The scripture says that the Most High speaks to those things that are not as though they are. He speaks to those things that are not as though they are. So I'm going to tell you about some things that ain't happened yet as though they have already happened. Because I said it, it's going to happen, so I'm going to talk to you like it's already happened. And so when we read a lot of prophecy, we don't recognize it as prophecy because of the way that it's written. But it was written that way intentionally because you got to go get the key. The key is the Most High speaks to those things that are not as though they are. The second key is my word will not return unto me void. It shall go out to accomplish whatever I sent it to do. So when I write to you, when I talk to you, even if it's something that is future, and if I specifically want you to know it's future, I'm going to speak to it as though it has already happened. And you won't know that it's prophecy unless I reveal it to you. You won't know that it's prophecy unless you know the key to unlock it. Our forefathers didn't have the key. They were supposed to. They had the writing. They were even quoting Isaiah. But then they didn't have all the keys. And they couldn't believe the report. He's coming. He's not going to be desirable. He's going to do some things, and y'all going to reject it. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't the scripture say this? Let's continue to read. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. The powers to be that he sent to those who are going to teach the people, they rejected Messiah, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, the king. They rejected him. They despised him. They tried to, every place that he went, they were trying to find a way to kill him. If they could undo a miracle, oh, we can't put leprosy back on people, but we can kill Lazarus. We can take him out of the way, put him back in the grave. So they're always trying to undo this work, and they despise the work that he did. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him as stricken and smitten of Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So he's telling them what punishment he's going to go through. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. I think this and I think that. You better be asking yourself, what does the Most High think? And what does he say? And Yah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They should have known that there was one coming that was going to take the iniquity of everyone. But only they could see that, no, every man must die for his own sin. I don't want to be responsible for the sins of my fathers. I don't want to be responsible for the sins of my child. And their understanding was every man had to die for his own sin. But here the scripture is telling them one is going to come that's going to die for the sins of all. And when John said, behold, the Lamb of Elohim, they should have picked up on that. You sacrifice a lamb. Here's the Lamb of Elohim. Here's that man that Isaiah was talking about, that Isaiah was reporting about, that lamb that's going to die for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He is brought as a lamb. They should have been able to see this. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. When he was taken, did he go physically serve in a jail? He was taken immediately to the Sanhedrin. They beat him up. But they didn't want to kill him. They didn't want to kill him themselves. So they took him to Pilate. Now he is under arrest. That's this oppression. And that is, let's see, what was I reading at? Yeah, that's being oppressed. And he was afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Going to be killed. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison. That being in under the Sanhedrin and being up under Pilate, under arrest, that's his prison. And from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. How are you cut off out of the land of the living? You die. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He's going to die for the transgression of the people of the Most High. They couldn't see this. They were blind. They didn't believe the report. That's why he, with his own disciples, said, hey, if you can't believe that I am who I say I am, believe the works that you see. Who else can do this? Who else is prophesied to do this? And a lot of these things they had to see after the fact. Let's continue. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. When you look at the Pharisees, they say, hey, the court, they say, hey, we're not killing you for the miracles that you did. We're killing you for who you say that you are. They understood that there's only one Elohim and he don't have a son. So if you're saying you're the son of Elohim, you're saying you're Elohim himself. You blaspheme. You being a man, make it yourself Elohim. See, we're the ones that got this thing twisted and confused. They knew. They understood. They understood what he was saying. You being a man, make it yourself Elohim. Elohim was the one supposed to be coming. That's what Isaiah said John was supposed to tell him. Your Elohim is here. Your God is here. So when you see all these things, you're supposed to know who's here. You're supposed to know the time of your visitation. He's here to teach you. Messiah said, I'm here to teach you the relationship you're supposed to have with me as Father. I can't teach you that from the position of Father because you won't hear it. So let me come as the Son of Man. Let me come as one of you and teach you to count on everything that I say, to seek out my spirit. And I'm going to have to pay the price for you while I'm here so that you can come back to me. I'm going to be stricken for you. I'm going to be killed for you. But in that death, I'm going to atone for all your sins. Israel wouldn't hear the report. Let's continue. Verse 10. Yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. They know that this scripture is talking about a man, a him, that he's going to be the Lamb of the Most High. But when he comes, they're reading it. They don't believe it. No, can't no man die for my sin. Can't no other man be put in my place. I have to die for my own sin. But the Most High says, I'm doing a work, and you haven't believed my report. You haven't believed what I've said to you. Let me read that again. Yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many. Don't say the sin of all. The sin of many. And made intercession for the transgressor. Israel wouldn't believe the report. Israel wouldn't believe what Messiah was saying when he was there. Israel wouldn't believe that everything that he told them, he was telling them from the position of Father. And they asked him the question, who is the Son of Man? It says that Christ abided forever. They knew that Christ was eternal. How are you going to say the Son of Man got to be lifted up? If you are the Mashiach, you're supposed to be eternal. How are they going to even say that? How are they going to say that? Now that I think of it, how are they going to say Christ is abided eternal? But they know that the Mashiach, they would have said not Christ, but the Mashiach abideth eternal. And they knew that he was eternal. And they knew that if they're reading this stuff, if they had that kind of knowledge, then he's supposed to come as a man. But they don't believe it. They're reading it and they want to quote some things. You got some people, I see some people who argue scripture. They don't believe in the New Testament. But they will argue from the New Testament. I tell them, hey, don't use nothing from the New Testament to argue me in the scriptures because you don't believe the New Testament. So you want to argue with me or discuss scripture? Let's discuss it from Torah that you believe in so that I might move you to a place where you can believe from Torah. Because I can't move you from the New Testament. You're just using it to try to, you know, as an argument point, to try to break the word of the Most High. So we got to understand the main reason that Messiah came. One of the main reasons. The first is, yeah, he had to die on the cross for us. He had to pay the price. But his mission while he was here, before he went to the cross, was to reveal to us the Father. This is the relationship that he wants to have with you. He wants you to understand that by the word of the Father and by his power, you're going to do everything. By the word of his power, not your own. And it's imperative that we believe and that we do what he says to do to obtain the Father in us. We have to believe it, or it is hidden from us. It's one of the two. It's either hidden from us, or we have to believe it. And if it's hidden from us, it's because we don't believe it. That's the truth of the matter. That's what Messiah just showed us in those verses. While you have the light, abide in the light. While you have the knowledge, abide in the knowledge. And then because they would not hear it, he hid himself. I'm going to hide the light from you. I'm going to hide the truth from you. You've heard it, but you won't believe it. You've heard it, but you won't walk in it. I have come to reveal thy name. Hold on a minute. Let me get a verse for it. And then we will close this out. I thought I put this in here, but I didn't. Give me a hot second. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And we're just going to start in verse 5. John chapter 17, starting in verse 5. O now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. They belong to you, Father, but you gavest thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now they know this, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Not praying for those carnal-minded people. I'm only praying for those that belong to the Father. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. Messiah came to manifest the name of the Most High, to reveal him to us. That's his purpose. I came to reveal them, reveal you to them, and to die for their sins, to teach them how to have a relationship with you, a relationship with me. All that are the Father's are mine. Everything that he did at the Father, as the Father, he gives to the Son. Him in that position. All of his power. He says, but there's one thing I'm reserving in that position of Father. When everything is all said and done, you can talk about the Son. You can talk about the Father. But you cannot talk about me directly. As the Ruach HaKodesh. Can't talk about me directly as the Ruach. Talk about the Son, the work I do. You can say, I don't believe nothing you say. So and he says, from that position, I ain't going to judge you because I didn't come to judge. I came to give you life and to teach you how to have life, to teach you who your power is, to teach you how to walk in him, to teach you how to become his. Because you're not his right now. I came that you might have power to become his children. And once you become his children, then how you walk in him and how you talk in him and how do you function in him, because you can have his spirit telling you what you should say, what you should do. By the word of his power are you to function. This was his purpose. So I pray that we got something out of this precept this morning, that we understand, that you ask yourself the question, who is your power? And by whose word are you living your life? Is it by the word of the Most High? And is he your power? Do you believe the report? Will you do what Messiah taught his disciples concerning salvation, concerning living in this world, concerning how you become a son of Elohim, a child of the Most High? Will you believe? Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you this morning, because it's by the word of your power that we exist. It's by the word of your power that we are to function and to live and just thrive. Father, we ask, we plead, we beg. Help us who are in need of help in this area. Give us a mind and a heart of surrender that we might allow you to truly be our power, that we would understand that we can do nothing without you. Hide not yourself from us, but reveal yourself, that we might walk in perfect understanding. It is by the word of your power. You are our power, that we do everything. And Father, we'll be so thankful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach, precious name, we pray. I want to play a song for us, because it should have a different meaning to us this morning, or should resonate. Let me put on my glasses. I don't know why I keep taking them off, like as though I can see without them. And no, I'm not blind without my glasses. I want you to get me wrong, but I do need them to read. Where is this song at? Here it is. Listen to the word.
Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yeah, you are my. Oh yeah, I am weak, I am so weary. I watered my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed cause of grief for so many years. Every day I throw my prayers up, I never did get an answer. Could it be that you are angry with me? I still praise you according to your righteousness. How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Yah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yah, you are my shield, my glory. This around my head, Yah, you sustain me. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yah,
in my times of trouble, you are the king. There's no other besides you. You are my redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself to me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to be.
Yah,
you are my shield, my glory. This around my head, Yah, you sustain me. Yah,
reveal yourself. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, oh, oh. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Yah, reveal yourself.
Cover this, and you know, so that we understand that we don't want to have that spirit. It has nothing to do with color. You know, the world is identifying the spirit of Esau as Edom and the Jews, but really, when you think about it, Esau was a Hebrew Israelite. So if we say that the Jews are Edom, we're saying that they're Hebrews and that they're our kinfolk. But at the same time, then we say, oh, no, they come from Ashkenazi. Can't be both ways. So we have been deceiving ourselves. We want to look at the spirit of Esau and what it actually represents and make sure that we're not of that seed. Okay? So the spirit of Esau on this evening and on tomorrow morning in spiritual wellness, we will still be dealing with the children. The children. We're still dealing with our children and what Yah wants us to teach them as an overview. In time, we will, as I said, add to that specific, you know, topics, whether it's sex, marriage, finances, and all those things. And he wants us to teach our children. First thing he wants us to do is to teach them to fear him, point blank. But we want to finish that up, and then, you know, we'll start moving into some more areas that we as a people have issues in, as a people. You individually may not have that problem. But as our people go, we got this problem. So the spirit of Esau tonight, spiritual wellness, tomorrow the children. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but the Most High loves you more. Shalom, family.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.